Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre. We're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with you.
How's it going, you guys? It's Jake White, JJW, coming at you from Norrell Toyota in Fort McMurray. Just wanted to say hi and come on down, check the place out.
Hi, my name's Richard. I'm the service manager here at Norrell Toyota.
Hi there, I'm Adam. I'm here at Norrell Toyota. I'm a product advisor.
Hi, I'm Cass. I'm the appointment coordinator. Happy to help you.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. As you've seen, you met all my staff. These guys are all my family. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norrell Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
I am Paul Spring. Been in Fort McMurray since about 1980. I am a helicopter pilot, mechanic, as well as a fixed-wing helicopter pilot, fixed-wing mechanic and pilot, though mostly I've been flying helicopters. Also a local business owner, Phoenix HeliFlight, a fairly well-known charter supplier in the community. Also Phoenix Air, which is a new venture, aerial inspection reconnaissance with large RPASs, remotely piloted aviation systems. And also the founder of the Local Hero Foundation, which we started about 11 years ago to fund and bring awareness to helicopter EMS services in the region.
Busy dude.
Yeah.
Well, I like how you started that off, though. Instead of business owner, you're like, no, I fly. So I was just going to ask, you still fly a lot.
That's the best part of it.
Yeah, no doubt. And you have some wild helicopters out there. We were fortunate enough to film there 2 days ago, and we saw one, two, three land, like, in sequence. My Lord, was it cool.
It is. It's a cool job. It's the closest thing to being a bird.
Yeah.
You get to lift off. You can get sideways, backwards, straight up, straight down. It is like being a bird.
Yeah. So what got you into it? How did it start?
Very accidentally, like a lot of good careers start out accidentally. Yeah. I was actually a snowmobile small engine mechanic.
Okay.
At a shop in Ontario, and one of the gentlemen that had a sled I worked on routinely, apparently he wasn't a very good driver because he needed repairs quite often.
Yeah.
Asked me why I was wasting my time fixing small engines. I seemed like a smart young man, and
yeah.
He says, I should take you flying someday. And he had a plane. He was a real estate salesman.
Yeah.
And took me flying and sort of got hooked on it. And then I got my private pilot's license for fixed wing. Then I got my commercial pilot's license for fixed wing. Then through that, made industry contacts. Found out about a course at a college in Northern Ontario in North Bay. At Canada College, I went and took their aircraft maintenance technician course.
Okay.
And that's what got me into helicopters. My first job, I could have gone fixed wing or helicopter, but my first job was with a company in North Battleford, Saskatchewan.
Okay.
They hired six of the guys out of my class of 70. And in 1980, I ended up in North Battleford working on a helicopter as an apprentice mechanic.
How long did you live in North Battleford for?
Not long.
Yeah.
The company moved the next year down to Saskatoon, so I spent about 5 years in Saskatoon after that.
Nice. Or two guys who didn't get the job.
Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah, so that's what got me into the helicopters, and once I got hooked on helicopters, it's like Boy Scouts on steroids. I was out as a apprentice mechanic with a pilot. Fighting forest fires in Northwest Territory, Saskatchewan, Alberta that summer, moving all over the place. Never stayed in one place for more than 7 days.
Wild.
Really big fire season.
Yeah.
So eventually I went back to that college 3 years later and took my piloting, their commercial helicopter pilot's license with them.
Mm-hmm.
And trajectory's been up ever since. So between 80 and 85, I was in and out of McMurray. About half the year, and then in 85 chose to move here full-time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to being a helicopter pilot, like, you started off as a mechanic, knowing how to like fix and like, you know?
Yep.
Is that the progression to be a pilot? Do you have to have that as well, or can you just be a pilot and just have the mechanic with you?
All four streams are completely independent. You can do one, all, two, three. So it's pretty rare for someone to have all four tickets.
Right.
Just because people usually get into it and then they just keep going on that path. So quite a few of the pilots don't become mechanics. Mechanics don't become pilots. It's kind of a rare thing, but when I first moved to McMurray and worked in the shop here with three other gentlemen from a company called Associated Helicopters, all three base pilots were also mechanics.
Oh.
It was really interesting to see that level of competency amongst the same group of guys. Yeah. But the company loved it because, you know, they pay you one wage, but you're doing two jobs.
That's right. That's right. No doubt.
Yeah.
The one thing that blows my mind, I've been to your shop twice now. And so, like, I was telling Tanner before we went out there, I was like, I don't want to get your hopes up, but the last time I went to this dude's shop, like, to say it's clean is an understatement. And then we went, because it was before COVID the first time I went out there. And I went out there literally 2 days ago, and your floor is just, like, clean. Yeah. I can't get over it. I've never been in a shop that is as clean as yours.
I'm glad you noticed it. We hear that comment a bit from other folks who visit, that, you know, you could eat off the floor or it's just like a hospital.
Yeah.
It's aviation's very specific. You want places neat, tidy, clean. If anything, a drop of oil or a drop of fuel comes from the aircraft, it's easily observed on the floor. Mm-hmm. And then we dig deeper and look for where it came from, or if something is dropped, mechanics are working, they drop a small washer. Mm-hmm. That piece of metal has to be accounted for. You can't send the aircraft flying until you've found whatever you dropped, in case it didn't go to the floor and got stuck in the machine somewhere and rattled around and then caused a problem later. So there's no loose ends left. Because when you're in the air, there's no room for error. Vehicles pull over to the side of the road. Helicopters and airplanes, yeah. You got to make sure that your aircraft is running perfectly.
So I saw one of your, like, I've seen the helicopters. For anybody at home, just look up any helicopter. We're talking thousands upon thousands upon thousands of parts.
Yes.
So you're telling me if you lose a washer, and, like, those helicopters have to be, like, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, you just got to stop operation until you find that piece?
Yeah, you can't leave something that you've dropped. You don't know where it's gone. You have to recover it.
Wild. But, like, yeah. It makes sense from a safety standpoint, I get you, but, like,
yep.
That's a lot of downtime for a washer.
It is, but anybody who's watched Mayday on TV knows that, you know, things happen, and there's lots of stuff that's traced back to maintenance errors or manufacturing errors. You just can't have these kind of things happen because you're putting people's lives at risk. So,
yeah.
One of my engine failures in a helicopter was caused by somebody who just forgot to put a simple little pin in the right place on a drive, on an oil pump.
Yeah.
And 500 hours of flying after it was manufactured, it decided to disconnect. Oil pressure went away and the engine exploded. So,
yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah.
You have to, it's that precise.
Yeah. Now, the one thing of your industry, which is really interesting to me, that I've heard from you and a few pilots that it's come up so far, is the connections that take place. Like, when you go to school, when you're talking, instructors, anybody, like, it seems like an industry that is really tightly connected as far as, like, your training is concerned.
Yeah.
When you go for that training, the opportunities happen for you.
You make connections in this industry, whether it's maintenance or flying, all the way along, and you bump into those people all through your career on ferry flights or fighting a forest fire. You know, we go to forest fires, and it brings a lot of people together, mechanics and pilots, that we haven't seen each other in years, but now you've got a common goal is to put the fire out, and it brings people in from coast to coast, and yeah, hey, I haven't seen you in 5 years. How's it going? How's, you know, still married?
Yeah.
You know, is your dog still alive? I love that dog. It's a great, you get to make all those connections, meet people at the fuel pump. It's a great industry. It's not a lot of people, so everybody knows everybody.
Yeah. Well, that's the one thing that it's like that I've seen so far is it is a close-knit community.
Yeah.
And all of you guys seem super happy. Like, everybody's like, yeah, this is cool. Like,
yeah, and even closer is the medevac community, you know, and I talked about Local Hero and the foundation. That's an even smaller subset. It's a very specialized subset of what we do. And there's only, you know, a handful of medevac, helicopter medevac programs in Canada, all working for the same thing, you know, saving lives and enhancing outcomes for injured people. That's a really tight group. So we're talking hundreds of people, not thousands,
right,
that do that work
in the
rotorying sector.
And how did you find yourself in that sector?
Oh, boy, if you get a helicopter, it's a tool, and that tool is a time saver. And when it comes to medevac, time is everything. You know, the golden hour, it's true. Lots of studies on it. And I just happened to be around, and the fire department called me one day and said, hey, can you go down Highway 63? There's a guy in the ditch having a heart attack. And sure.
Yeah.
So off on my first, you know, that was my first medevac here in Fort McMurray. It was down near Mariana Lake for a heart attack in about 1986. So, you know, and I got good at doing them. I don't mind blood and, you know, the smells and all this stuff that comes with a trauma incident.
Yeah.
You know, there's the, all your senses are overloaded. You're, what you see, what you smell, what you hear, it's all there.
Yeah.
It's raw. And it doesn't seem to bother me. So I love working with the fire department. Great guys and gals there.
Mm-hmm.
Had some really good times with them. Spent the night in the bush on an airplane crash with a guy and a gal from the Fort McMurray Fire Department and a search and rescue Sartec out of Cold Lake. And yeah, we had to stay there and, you know, guard the bodies overnight so that they, you know, wolves or coyotes didn't get at them.
Yeah.
So it's just the helicopter is the natural tool for that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the tool and you get called, it's kind of like you have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, how could you say no?
Right, right.
It could be somebody, a family member, a friend, could be anybody. So, you know, if you've got the skills and the equipment to do the job, you pretty much have to respond.
Yeah, no doubt.
And it just kept growing and growing and growing. And then we wanted to be 24/7. So that's when we had to get a bigger helicopter, you know, spend $8 million to get a bigger helicopter. And then we needed 8 pilots to fly it, night vision goggles, you know, big multi-engine aircraft, and equip it with an ambulance kit inside.
Yeah.
So that screamed out for more support. We couldn't do it as a casual hire thing where the fire department called and said, hey, have you got one of your choppers available?
Yeah, yeah.
We needed to be dedicated 24/7, and that's where Local Hero, the foundation, came from. And we've had great support from the community, industry, especially RMWB's on board, been a great supporter, Alberta Health, again. So that's a success story all on its own.
Yeah, no doubt.
So
yeah.
How cool is it to use night vision goggles?
So cool.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. All the tricks we have, you know, infrared cameras, night vision goggles.
You feel like a super spy?
Well, actually, you know, there was a couple of gentlemen lost a few years ago just north of town, walked away, and the RCMP did everything they could to try and find these guys, but they couldn't. Cell phone was starting to die. And they finally reached out and said, hey, can you send Hero One up to come have a look?
Yeah.
Our guys could see the cell phone display on their goggles miles back.
And wild.
What had taken them all night to not accomplish, we did in 30 seconds. So,
wow.
Yeah, I bet you feel real cool.
Now, now it's a pretty expensive 30 seconds. You know, yeah. you're talking an aircraft that goes out at $9,000 an hour. But if somebody's life is there, that's why we need the funding.
What's somebody's life worth, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's that one, and there was another gentleman up Richardson backcountry, a trapper, and just was in cold weather conditions. ATV broke down, got it fixed, it broke down again, pretty much was given up, exhausted. Same thing. As long as we got a cell phone screen, we can usually see it from quite a ways back. So night vision goggles came to play again.
Wild.
Yeah. Great rescue tool.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Now, you've been in Fort McMurray for quite some time, and your industry allows you to literally live, work anywhere.
Yep.
Why did you choose Fort McMurray, and like, why are you still here?
We're like the hidden gem. You know, back in the day, we wouldn't tell people how nice Fort McMurray was because we didn't want them to come here and ruin it.
Yeah.
You know, that was sort of the thinking back in, and for me anyways, back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
We were that town at the end of the road that had a great industry here. We had a good community, had lots of clubs and activities. Yeah, we didn't have all the stores and stuff, but yeah, make that trek down to Edmonton twice a year.
Yeah.
You know, get the kids ready for school supplies and all that kind of stuff. But other than that, a really good community, a good vibe. You've got wilderness all around you, beautiful forests and animals and rivers and fishing opportunities and snowmobiling and ATVs. It's like, what more could you want, really?
That's right.
And it was a back in the day then, you know, I know house prices came up later, but it was reasonable to buy a house here and start a family here.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, for a helicopter, you don't want, how much work is there in Calgary? Almost nothing.
Right.
So if you lived in Calgary, you would have to go somewhere else to do what I do.
Mm.
This is one of the few communities in Canada where there's abundant work for helicopters all around. We're home every night, just about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we go camp out on fires. I'm back up to the NWT tomorrow. I'm going up to work with Environment Canada on the Whooping Crane Survey. So I'll be out for a week, but what's a week away, really?
That's right.
You know, and we're two hours from home. So, yeah, it's just the vibe, the work opportunities, the community, all good reasons to be here.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, listen, man, Tanner tapped his watch, unfortunately.
Yeah,
so
I knew he would.
Time.
Thanks, Tanner.
But before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout-out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Yeah, just shout out to the community for supporting Local Hero. You know, it started out of the need for saving lives and helping people, and we've really had good support from the community rally around it, and I hope that continues so we can continue doing the work we do.
There we go. Well, Fort McMurray with Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. It means the world to me. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Neural Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. Hope everybody at home is having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Hi, everyone. It's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.